As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
.755 is real with David O'Brien and Erica Flaherty is on the air now. Welcome back. Welcome back to 755 is Real. I'm David O'Brien, Braves writer for The Athletic. I'm with my co-host, Eric O'Flaherty, former Braves reliever. What's going on, Eric? How you doing, man?
What's up, Dave? I'm all right.
Big news last night, man, in Boston. We've talked about Vaughn Grissom. Michael Harris and Grissom are the two guys that I've talked about. Now I'm done. If somebody asks me the next guy, I don't have one for you. But I talked about Grissom for 2 years, and last night I got to say he even surpassed my expectations because I thought, you know, he's a guy that's going to come in when it's notified at 11 p.m. the night before that you're going to the show. You never know how that's going to go. You think I might strike out three times, but, you know, but especially at Fenway Park. I mean, packed house. But this kid comes in last night, and I swear, man, it looked like they were filming a movie with this guy. That was impressive, I thought.
Yeah, and enjoying it too. You know, not there's different ways guys react to that.
Yeah,
and you know, I saw his interviews and stuff before the game. He kept saying, "I can't believe I'm here."
Yeah, he was honest.
And most of the time, when you can't believe you're here, it's like, you know, that's a recipe for disaster. You know, because it's such a good sign when a guy respects the level and knows how special it is what he's getting to do. But it's also the one thing that makes you kind of, you know, overplay it in your head and make too big a deal out of it to where you're nervous when you're playing and you make some mistakes. But I mean, he fielded the first ground ball, threw it to first and smiled.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was like, he channeled it all really well.
He was like aware of everything going on, aware everybody's watching him, aware, you know, the significance, didn't just do it with a blank face. I thought a lot about this kid really stood out as different. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's different about this kid. He looks like a star. I mean, he's a good-looking kid. He looks like he's having fun, like you said. His personality comes forth. He's not out there trying to act cool or trying to to act like he's above this and everything, or that he's awed by it. He's just out there, you know, like this. Yeah, this is crazy. I'm here now, though. And I thought it could not have been better to have Michael Harris there for him. These guys were drafted together, made their debuts together, played at Rome together, got promoted to Mississippi. I mean, that's crazy that these two guys, third rounder and 11th rounder in the 2019 draft, are now playing as two of the three youngest players in the majors. Harris, the youngest. Vaughn Grissom, the third youngest. Wander Franco between them, unless I'm mistaken. That's impressive for the Braves. I mean, it could not be a rosier picture as far as the young talent they have. And the job that Dana Brown has done as scouting director and his staff to pluck these two guys who, to me, look like superstars long term for a decade, you know? Pretty impressive, man, to get them in the third and 11th round of the same draft and to both be up here, which says a lot about the type of personalities they are and how those guys are vetting these guys to make sure they're getting the right character guys, too, because it takes more than just skill to get here.
Yeah, I saw an interview with Dana. I think it was on Twitter or something, but it was just how he's talking about kind of looking past the tools and all that stuff and looking at ball players. And he was watching what I think it was Riley Green, and Vaughn was his teammate.
Right, at Oviedo.
And he couldn't take his eyes off of Vaughn. couldn't take his eyes off him. Just kept saying, this guy brings so much energy. You know, I like his tools. I like this. And he obviously wasn't that huge of a prospect if he went in the 11th round, but they saw something. And, you know, I mean, it's, for me, I thought it was cool for him because he probably was shocked he was in the big leagues.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're a first rounder, it's almost like guys take it for granted and expect it. And they're told they're going to be this great thing. When you're an 11th rounder, it's, you got to earn it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be something to be up this quick as an 11th rounder. So started the year in A-ball. It probably didn't seem realistic that he was going to be in the big leagues. And when you're that low of a pick, you're kind of thinking it's more of a dream. You know, it'd be cool if everything goes right and I get there, but you're not ever expecting to be there at 21.
Yeah. You know, it's going to take injuries for you to get there. When you got Dansby Swanson, a shortstop, Ozzie Albies at second base, veteran backups, you know, Orlando Arcia. It took two injuries and him playing his ass off in Double A after getting promoted. Because he ramped it up. His stats are in Double A. They were solid at Rome, really good. But at Double A, another next level. He's one of those players who got promoted and played better.
Yeah.
And his slashing. His bat-to-ball skills are off the charts, man. That's what separates this kid from a lot of them. You know?
Yeah.
He's not a 30-homer guy yet, but he's got the power, as we saw last night. I mean, that's tantalizing to see that home run because that power is there.
Oh, that ball's forged.
And when he's got the bat-to-ball skills that he has – and a 6'3 frame that you know is only just going to get bigger.
Yeah, he's still built like a kid.
Yeah.
He's going to fill out.
It's really, you get excited thinking about the possibilities of what he could do as an all-around hitter because he's an all-around hitter, you know. Got good speed, terrific bat-to-ball skills, got power, obviously. I mean, he launched that ball out of Fenway Park. For your first major league hit, you hit a ball over the monster and out of Fenway Park. I mean, that's the natural stuff.
Well, I mean, you can't hit a cooler first homer than doing it at Fenway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's one of those stadiums that's been around forever. You know, it's for me, when I was coming up, it was cool to play in the nice new stadiums, but the ones that really made it feel like, shit, I made it was Wrigley, Fenway, these parks that I grew up playing video games on and watching games on. I bet that he said he couldn't even feel a thing. You know, he wasn't even there.
Yeah, when he hit the home run, he said, I couldn't feel anything, man. But, yeah, we talked about home run derbies and when they're at some places like at Dodger Stadium this year. There's really no context for them. So you can't really tell when a ball's hit 440 feet. It really doesn't impress as much. Fenway is the ultimate place with context. They've measured that at 412, which I think was really conservative. That was not 412. But, nevertheless, it looks so good when a ball's going over the monster, out of the ballpark into the dark sky, you know, over of Mass Pike or parking lot, wherever it went, but it just adds so much to it. It looks so cinematic, you know, than rather than just landing in the 20th row of seats somewhere, you know, at a generic ballpark or whatever. So that just added to it. I mean, he's just going to live. He's never going to forget that moment. It's going to follow him forever. Like Jay Hayes, you know, home runner's first plate appearances of his major league debut on opening day at Turner Field. That's what it kind of reminded me of, you know. Jay Hay, packed house, moments after he catches the ceremonial first pitch from Hank Aaron, which at the time we thought was kind of the figurative passing of the torch from Hank Aaron to Jay Hay to the next, you know, black kid's going to take over and all that, you know. And for a while, it looked like that with Jay Hay. It didn't work out, but nevertheless, it was a moment that, you know, gave you chills.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if this would have happened at Turner Field, I think a lot of Braves fans got chills probably watching it, you know, watching a kid do this.
Well, I was just, I mean, for me, I was just impressed, you know, again, with him saying how fake it felt to be there, you know, how he couldn't believe he was here, couldn't believe he was here. I mean, it's a special ability to like separate those two things. And then the game starts and actually go play baseball. As I got called up about the same age and I couldn't believe I was there. And when they handed me the ball, I couldn't feel the ball in my hands. You know, I was shitting my pants.
Hard to pitch if you can't feel the ball, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it was like kind of the same feeling going into the game, and then the game started and I was still like, I couldn't believe I'm here, and played like it. And he played like he belonged yesterday.
He found out at 11 o'clock the night before.
Yeah.
Arcia gets hurt, pulled the hamstring. Tough for him because he's really playing well. And I mean, maybe he comes back in September. You never know with hamstrings. They could be 3 weeks. They could be the rest of the season. You don't know. But in the interim, I mean, if the way it works out, the plus of this is you're going to get a chance to look at this kid, but not just look at him, but it looks like he's going to be able to contribute for you.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to see how this series down in Miami goes. There won't be any pressure down there. It's going to be about as small a crowd as the Braves will play in front of this year, even though it's a weekend. They might have one big crowd, depending on what the promo giveaway is.
And the atmosphere is never anything like Fenway.
Right. And it's going to be indoors, controlled atmosphere. It's going to feel good inside, you know, with a field turf field, no bad hops. So he's going to be able to play four games down there and hit against some pitchers that he can hit. He could hit anybody, as we saw last night. But I'm interested to see how this goes for the kid. But wow, what an impressive debut. And like I said, to have Michael Harris there, his buddy. And it was funny because I thought it was so cool to see him. Post-game interview, he's out there talking to Kelly Krull and the rest of the team's, you know, in the clubhouse right at the little tunnel. And Michael Harris is there watching him do his interview, waiting for him. It's like he's watching his little brother or something do his interview, you know, even though Harris is actually a little younger than him. But when he came off, they, you know, kind of, all right, good job, man. And they're signing autographs and, you know, and the kids' parents are watching him. I mean, imagine them. They're watching their son hit a home run. Then he's being interviewed on post-game TV.
His mom was going crazy when he grounded out.
Yeah, she was. She was.
I mean, that'd be, yeah, the whole thing was just something you'd just be really happy for a family to have. And they all just seemed like, you know, I don't think anybody expected him to be there that fast. And
right, nobody
watching
did,
him
no.
play out like that is, it's pretty special.
But I tell you what, with Alex Anthopoulos, man, you got to, if you're a double-A stud, you got to be ready to go because he's done this again and again now. He did it with Mike Soroka when they played the Mets and they needed a starter years ago. Soroka shocked us. We're like, Mike Soroka, really? Because we knew all about him. We'd written about him. But we thought, okay, he's probably a year away. You know, he's going to go all the way up through the ladder, through AAA, spend time there. Nope, they called him up because they think it gives him the best chance to win. Never mind service time, starting the clock. Alex doesn't give a shit about that stuff, man. He wants to win now.
Yeah.
So then he calls up Michael Harris when they're struggling and they need a center fielder. And Harris has barely played any in double A, you know, he's played a month in double A, month and a half, and they bring him up straight to the majors, thrust him into the lineup. He's played every day since then. Been terrific. Rookie of the year, strong rookie of the year candidate. So then he does it once again, and you think, okay, one of these times he's going to call one of these guys up. He's not going to be ready yet, but so far, they have a good idea, obviously, from watching them. The people are watching them every day. They know what these kids are like, and more importantly, what they're like mentally, whether they can handle
it. Yeah, that's the kicker.
Maturity, intelligence, maturity, everything.
I think another thing that helps is, you know, like when I was coming up, you're in double A, there's one guy throwing 97.
Yeah.
The way the game's changed, these guys aren't going to face, you know, stuff they haven't seen yet. Maybe it's a little better, but it's more about, you know, the guys can make pitches, they can pitch better, but they can still handle the stuff when they get called up to the big leagues. They're not going to be overwhelmed by seeing 98 for the first time. And I think another thing that helps is obviously what we talked about is it's a comfortable atmosphere to get called up to the big leagues. When I was a 21-year-old kid and got called up, these guys felt like men. You know what I mean? They felt everybody was in their 30s, and you're 21.
And they made you feel like that.
I just felt like a little boy out there, and you feel out of place. And the way they act, too, you know, it's kind of just grumpy and just grizzled vets walking around. You're like, I'm nothing like these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You got Michael Harris right there with them.
Yeah,
you know,
and you got Spencer Strider. I mean, you got guys he was in minor league spring training with, you know, a year ago. You know, they got a lot of guys here, so it feels that part of it must ground him some to not feel so out of place. This guy, well, I played with him and I played with him and I played with him. Michael Harris was with me, drafted with me, and they come up, so it must be a take out that whole sense of awe. Even though you're in awe of the surroundings, you look over and there's Michael Harris. You're like,
exactly.
So, okay, well, look at what he's done. He's a stud.
Yeah, so, and it's not Chipper Jones telling you it's the same game.
Right.
You know, Chipper says, you're like, you're Chipper Jones.
Yeah.
it's the same game for you because you're a Hall of Famer. But when it's an actual peer, you know, 21, 22 years old, close to your age, saying, hey, and you saw this guy in double A this year, and he's saying, hey, man, it's the same game. Just play your same game. there's something about it that's just more believable when it's a guy that you feel like is just like you saying that versus one of the greatest hitters ever or a guy that's been there for, you know, 7-8 years in the big leagues.
Yeah, when you're looking at Michael Harris, you go, okay, he's younger than me. We came up together and played together in rookie ball and A ball, and he's right now a stud for these guys, you know. So, yeah, to have those guys batting 8th and 9th down there, you look at the future for the Braves. There's two 21-year-olds, man, 21, and they look ready. And how about the speed you add, too? This is a guy who stole 27 stolen bases already this year in the minors. Steals a base last night. By the way, first Braves, youngest player to hit a home run and steal a base in his debut. First Brave to do it, at least in the modern era, since 1901.
That's crazy.
Home run and a stolen base. Yeah, to have the balls to steal a base, too, to be that comfortable, that tells me something, you know. Whole lot easier just to go, I'll wait and let that do that later. I don't know, I want to get thrown out right away. He's into the game. I mean, he's going, I can do that. I can steal on this guy. You know, he's thinking the game, not just all.
And the bat flip, too.
Bat flip. That was a big league bat flip, too. I didn't think it was too much. I thought it was just really cool.
Well, I hit it. I mean, he hit the shit out of it. Yeah. And I think back to, you know, going back to that point of the comfort level is, you know, if Adam Jones got called up the same year I did and we were both 21, I mean, he might have been 20, but if Jonesy would have done that bat flip, he might have been on the bus back to Tacoma. Yep.
Different.
You know, I mean, and there's something about being comfortable, you know, and you never want to be too comfortable and take things for granted, but feeling like you belong.
Yeah.
That's when you get guys to play their best and, yeah. You know, that's the major change that's happened in the game. When that ground ball's coming to you and you're feeling like, oh my God, these guys are going to rip me if I miss it versus, hey, it's just a game, just throw it to first. You know, there's a big difference in the game in that now. And I think it's played off for a lot of teams that are calling young guys up.
And the bat flip, you're not thinking, oh shoot, I got to just put my head down and run. You're like, you're thinking, I bat flip all the time in the minors when I went that far. Why not do it here? And he just
let me soak it in.
It's just natural.
Yep.
It was just such a natural reaction. I just thought he looked so comfortable out there, man. He might have said he was in awe and couldn't believe it, but he looked totally comfortable to me from before the first pitch when I showed him in the infield. And and Dansby and those guys made him feel comfortable too, you know, all of them. I saw him afterwards. I thought it was pretty cool. Dansby gave him a hug, you know, when it came up and everything. So this is a night he'll never forget, obviously, but I think more importantly, I think it's going to allow him to really thrive right away rather than try to get his feet under him, take forever to get comfortable. And like you said, the clubhouse is so important that they've embraced these guys and make them feel comfortable from the time they get there. Like, we just want you to do your best, man. Never mind all the hazing bullshit. They don't do that anymore. Just, you know, they gave him the silent treatment briefly after his home run, but it was great. He knew it was coming. He's like, I hope they don't wait too long because I'm jacked up, man. And then they didn't.
That's funny.
So that was that was impressive. Eric, let's hear from today's sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And what this means, I don't know what this means, because this next month, in 2 months, is going to be really interesting to see. I mean, Ozzie could be back in the middle of September. It's one game. You don't want to get too carried away, because this kid could easily go, you know, 2 for 20 with, you know, 5 punches the next couple of days, next 4 days. But I'd be surprised, because I just thought he looked really good. And the bat-to-ball skills is what separates him to me. He's not going to have a ton of strikeouts, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do when Ozzie comes back. Ozzie obviously moves back into the lineup at second base. This does allow you not to rush Ozzie at all, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was going to be early September at the earliest, now you can say mid-September when he's ready, when he's completely ready, just enough time to get ready for the postseason. But this kid gives you a great backup at either of those spots when he does return. Long-term, obviously, the big gorilla in the room.
Yeah.
What does this do? And again, you don't want to get carried away with one game. But I went from, you know, and I've said, we've talked about this. I thought Vaughn Grissom's a superstar in the future. But I just thought it was going to be a year from now, probably.
Yeah.
And I thought they might, if they don't sign Dansby, I thought they might have to go out and get a bridge, like a Josh Donaldson was at third base. I don't know now. I mean, just from my first glimpse of this guy, if you don't think you, if you can't sign Dansby, he's going to give you food for thought. You might not have to go out and sign a guy, because if he's going to be ready, obviously, you're not going to go out and sign a guy for 2 or 3 years if this kid's going to be ready and he's going to have a month to show it.
What better way to find out than actually playing him in the big leagues? You know, I mean, it's, I got to give Dansby credit for being supportive of him, because, you know, you're looking at it like, this might be my replacement. You're knocking him from second base.
Here's this good looking kid coming up, man. He's showing, he's homering his first game and giving them reason to think, okay, well, maybe this is leverage in the Dansby discussion. It's just like, I don't know, man. I mean, he played second base last night. He's only played 7 games this year at second base, but he's played about 20 in the past too. He looked totally normal to me at second base. He was good. He handled everything. He had a bobble, but he was quick, you know, to get it to first. And, but everybody should remember he's a natural shortstop. That's his position. He's 6'3". So I know somebody, a couple of people on Twitter asked me, okay, so if you don't sign Dansby, they're getting ahead of themselves. If you don't sign Dansby, do you move Ozzy to short and move this guy and have this kid play second? I'm like, well, why would you have the 6'3" guy play second base, move 5'8" Ozzy to shortstop? This kid's got a good arm. No, you're going to leave Ozzy at second base and this kid's playing shortstop. Let's not overcomplicate it. But I don't know, man. The only solution is you're going to have to do the Chipper Jones thing if you don't, if you do sign Dansby long term, because now third base is not, that was the other option, to move him to third base. Well, obviously third base is locked up for the next decade and the Braves are very glad that it is. So he's either shortstop or you put him in the outfield. Cause Ozzy's also signed, locked up for the next half decade at second base.
Yeah.
And his kid's too good.
Dansby's the only guy not locked up in that infield.
Right. So, I mean, obviously, Dansby is probably not going to – I don't see Dansby taking the severely team-friendly deal that some of these other guys have taken.
It wouldn't be at this point. He's already been offered that.
At this point, exactly. Yeah. We've talked about this ad nauseum, the reasons why he wouldn't, you know. I mean, the reasons why he probably shouldn't. He's the one that took the risk, you know. Yeah. They're not signing him long-term. They're signing him off the best season he's had. He gambled on himself, in effect, and it's paying off. So he's going to have to make more money than Austin Riley probably, you know, to stay here. And I don't know that they're going to do that, especially if they got Vaughn Grissom. If they got their best prospect in the organization is a shortstop. You hate thinking even about this team moving forward without Dansby, because he's such an integral part of their World Series championship and everything else they do on a day-to-day basis. But sometimes you got to turn the page, man. You can't keep everybody, and you got a stud.
Well, if you keep turning guys like this out somehow from the minor leagues in the 11th round, like.
Well, and what it could do, obviously, is if you think Vaughn Grissom could be ready next year, think about the avenues that opens up on what you could do with that money.
Yeah.
Max Fried, all of a sudden, you know, long term, you could go out and get a veteran guy, because Charlie's going to be gone probably. He's making $20 million this year. You could get a guy, you know, catcher. Darno's going to be gone after this year unless you sign him to another. Well, he signed a 2-year deal, but he's, you know, beyond that, you got some money that you're going to otherwise be tied up with $20 to $25 million a year for Dansby that you can apply elsewhere if that's the case. And I'm not running Dansby out of town. I love the guy, but I'm just saying this kid is, Vaughn Grissom is special. And the reality is he's got to play somewhere and it looks like he's going to be ready. I'm not going to have to wait a year or two, but it's early. It's one game. But he looked good.
The key is you get to find out right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
playing every day.
If he shits the bed, then you're like, okay, he might need some more time. But if he goes off, you know, in this situation, in a playoff chase.
Yes.
I mean.
Gets good teams.
21.
Packed houses. Braves draw everywhere. They're going to be sold out crowds at home. They got the Mets coming up after the Marlins. that. Let's see what he does in that Mets series against terrific pitching. That's going to be really interesting. The next week's going to be really interesting.
Well, Marlins, I mean, if he struggles against Scherzer and DeGrom, he's a big leaguer.
Right, but what if he doesn't? What if he gets a hit off those guys? Then you're like, holy shit, he's ready now. Yeah, it's got, I mean, the timing of it could not be more fortuitous for the Braves. You hate losing Arcia to an injury. That's something you could never predict, obviously. But you make the best of a worse situation is that's the positive, obviously, is you're going to get a chance to see this kid that you would not have otherwise have gotten a chance to see. You weren't going to call him up to be on the bench after the minor league season was over, you know, and start his clock, not to be on the bench.
You know how much teams would pay for that answer? You know, when you're trying to make a decision on a free agent and you don't have space to get an answer on this player you're going to be banking on. I mean, this is the most valuable information you can get if you're the Braves timing. Is whether this guy, because that's the whole hurdle. Yeah. It's not, I mean, how many prospects you see that, oh, they're the future, they're the future. And then 3 years later, they got traded to the Brewers. Pache. You know what I mean? And you can't get more valuable information than how a guy's actually going to play at the big league level. And the opportunity has to present itself. And then you got to have the balls to call him up from Double A.
Keep in mind how good Pache looked in that NLCS against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
We thought he was ready. We thought he was ready. He looked great. He had good at bats, even though he didn't have a bunch of hits. He had good at bats, professional at bats. We thought, okay, this kid's ready. We're wrong. But I think this kid's at a different level as far as all around player. Pache, we knew the defense was going to be great. Never expected him to be a great hitter, but he looked like in the LCS he was ready. Well, he wasn't. This kid, I've said this from day one since I saw him at spring training. I
get sick of hearing his name until I saw him play.
Right. And then you see him play and you're like, okay, now I see it.
Yeah.
Just everything about it. Boy, he carries himself, the athleticism, you know. He's got, as Leland would say, and a lot of old scouts would say, he's got a good face, you know. Yep. Certain guys just look, you could tell a lot about him. I know it's old school and you don't, and people are totally dismissive of that.
No. But
certain guys that do have those faces and that air about them, you know. And they're,
when I saw him, I hadn't even seen a picture of him until he was getting called. And I saw him, I was like, okay. Dude, that's a stud.
That picture they had, that picture that the Braves released yesterday when he had the batter, didn't he look like David Justice?
Yep.
God, he looked like David Justice. Not so much live, you know, but that picture, he looked like David Justice and dimples like Justice. But yeah, I'm big on this kid. And but it's funny because people that ask, you know, now they're going to ask, okay, who's the next guy we got? I don't know. Those were the two. Those were the two. I had Harris and I had Grissom. After that, I don't see any guys in the system that are sure things like that.
Yeah, well, you hit on those two.
And I thought Langoliers.
I feel the same way about him.
I thought Langoliers was pretty much a sure thing, too, because of the defense. But Harris and Grissom were the two. And now, until I see somebody, there's nobody that I've seen that's like that. But, man, if you hit on two like the Braves have, that's more than most organizations hit on in a decade, you know?
At that level of player, you know, you get some prospects that come up, but possible superstars, especially when you didn't, you know, use a top 10 pick to get these guys.
Third and 11th rounders at the middle premier positions.
Yeah.
That's up the good middle. Scouting. Center field and second shortstop, man. Oof, that's great scouting. It is great scouting for sure. So the Braves farm system, you know, you see them ranked in the bottom 10 and all that. It's like, okay, well, that's because everybody that would put them at the top is playing on the major league team.
Yep.
Strider, Harris, now Grissom. I mean, that's a lot of guys that if you put them all, and Kyle Wright, if you put them all down in the minor leagues, you got a healthy minor league system. So,
I mean, you got plenty of guys on your big league roster that are prospect age still.
Yes. Prospect age, man.
You know, under 24.
So that was a fun game to watch, man, to see this kid play. I'm looking forward to seeing him play some more. And the other thing I thought was really big last night, and it got completely overshadowed, obviously, was Yates' debut.
Yeah.
What he could mean for this team right now, because, again, he comes along at a great time, because there's some guys that are sputtering a little bit. They're on fumes in that bullpen, Dylan Lee being one of them. Mentor went through his rough patch. I think Dylan Lee's going through one now.
Yeah, he looked good the night before. I mean,
I honestly
got to say, I haven't given him enough credit. And it's kind of the typical thing that I should be above is he doesn't have the stuff that blows your doors off.
Right.
But he's got balls. He's got a tight slider. His fastball has life to it. He's pitched his ass off. You know, there's been a lot of times where I just happen to not be watching the one inning he throws.
Yeah.
But I've watched him a couple times lately and been like, you know, I should be giving this guy more credit because he comes in and makes pitch after pitch. And, you know, sometimes it's after you're in big situations day after day, you kind of get a little gassed, and a team like Boston, you know, some vets on there, they're going to make some adjustments and you might give it up, but he's got some really good stuff and he's pitched his ass off this year.
I know what you mean though. He doesn't have the one pitch that makes you, he doesn't throw 98, you know, he doesn't have the one trick pitch or, you know, the devastating slider, but he's got a bunch of good pitches and he balls.
Yeah.
And he's a big dude too. He's got a presence on the mound.
Yep.
But there's nothing about him that really, you know, and the way he carries himself too, he's just, you know,
I was
no
the same
expression.
Way. When I was behind Johnny and Craig, people are always asking me, did you ever make an all-star team? I'm like, fuck no. We had Johnny throwing 98 mile an hour sinkers and Craig striking out 18 per nine.
Yeah.
I mean, I did my job, but nobody gave a shit. You know, I mean, you had to be a fan to know who I was.
Yeah.
And I was having good seasons, but I think Dylan's kind of the same way where it's his fastball plays up, his slider's super tight. He makes pitches. He comes in big situations. He's not phased. He's been a big part of the team.
They've rode him hard. They've gotten spurts from several different guys. Jackson Stevens was the guy early on, surpassed all expectations and filled in when they've, you know, been without. We talked about they were without Minter for a month and a half, whatever it was. They lost Luke before the season even started. I mean, you had a bunch of your key guys from last year's pen were not even from the night shift, weren't even part of this thing. Will Smith was down in a setup role, eventually traded. So there's three of the four key guys from last year, Minter being the only one that wasn't. You know, and he's been terrific this year, and he just went through his rough patch because he was leading the majors in appearances. But to add a guy like Yates, people forget Yates was a major league leader in assists in 2019. Had like 100 and saves.
Did I say assists?
41 saves in 44 chances in 2019. Yeah. Had like 100 and I have to look this up, but 100 and something strikeouts, 13 walks in 60 innings. Now, I know I don't think he's that type of guy anymore, the big strikeout guy, but he's a damn good reliever. And
he's had, phased.
And he's had 16 months from TJ, too.
Yeah.
So, man, after a few appearances, I think I'll wait and reserve judgment. But he came in last night against Bogarts in a big situation after Lee gave up that three-run bomb that gets the Red Sox within a run. Place is going nuts, and he induces the little pop-up from Bogarts. So that was a big out. Big out in that game.
Yeah, there's a lot of value in having guys that have pitched those big situations and been in bigger situations than he's going to pitch in.
Yeah.
You know, Kenley's going to close. Rysell's and AJ are probably going to be throwing that eighth inning stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You look at the bullpen, man. You got five guys that could be closers on certain teams.
That were closers, yeah. I think that's big because they're going back to what they did have before when Luke had closed, Will Smith had closed, Matzik had closer stuff. Now you've got three guys who have been all-star caliber closers in Kenley, Rysell. Now you bring him back. This is a – Kirby is – you know, Kirby was a stud, man, with the Padres. And you got Minter, who's pitched like an all-star.
So and if you get Matzik right, his Vito's down a little bit, but he could close. I mean, you're looking at five, six guys deep down there that can throw huge innings for you. Because Dylan Lee, man, I mean, he pitches like a closer.
Yeah.
No matter what the situation is, he makes pitches. You know, I mean, he had a bad game the other day, but.
Three guys who've been all-star caliber closers, though, now are down there doing the setup work and closing. Yep. So, yeah, and it's like if you use Kenley, if you go on a little run again, remember when they won 14 straight, that's going to be really handy having Rysell and also having Kirby now that, you know, you don't have to use Kenley more than two in a row or you don't have to use him four out of five, that kind of thing. So, or even if it's a run of five straight, you know, you got great options now. Yates led the majors 41 saves and 44 chances in 2019, 101 strikeouts, 13 walks and 60 and two-thirds innings that year.
It's a good season.
Yeah. Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Really low ERA. So that was pretty big. Dylan Lee gives up the three-run bomb to Tommy Pham last night, gets them within 5-4. Yates comes in, big situation, got the pop-up. So that was a good sign. His first big league game in 16 months. So,
and that's how you win in the postseason. You know, I mean, you see these teams with the lights-out bullpens. The games are going to be close, and you guys got to be able to handle pressure. When you have that deep pen.
Yeah.
And you can handle going into the 10th inning. You can handle going in the 11th. And you still have a couple guys you can call on down there. You know, you're not calling that sixth inning rookie out. You know, you got Yates still sitting on the bench in the 10th.
The last year that the bullpen plus Freed plus Charlie, I thought were the biggest strengths of this team down the stretch. And they would have never won. They would have never even gone on a pennant without these guys. The bullpen and those two starters carried this team down the stretch, you know. And then obviously there was a lot of guys that were hitting well, but it was the pitching more than anything last year, I thought. So having that bullpen is going to be huge down the stretch because it was starting to sputter a little bit. They got some reinforcements at the right time, and Alex made some good moves going out and getting Rysell.
Yeah, and if they had these guys all year, you know, Minter probably doesn't go through his phase because he doesn't have to throw as much.
Right.
But there was just a period where they were a little thin, and he was throwing the ball the best, and they had to use him the way they did.
And I gotta tip the cap to them for the patience they showed with Yates, because they had a plan the whole time, and they have never moved that plan up and gone, we need Yates sooner than, you know, because they said all along it was going to be August before they bring him back after the All-Star break. And they never said, okay, let's get him back, you know, before the break. It'll still be 13 months. It'll be fine. They stuck with their plan because they signed him to a 2-year deal with next year being backloaded next year, because they're planning, counting on him big next year. So they didn't want to brush him this year, have him have any setbacks at all. So that was good. Now they've got this guy and he's ready to pitch and they don't have to worry about him. Other big thing last night, and sight for sore eyes, Marcell Ozuna hits a big 3-run homer.
Missile.
Scoreless game till the 4th, and he hits his homer off Pivetta. Can't be overstated how big it could be to get him going, because he's sucked this year, man. He's been pretty – he's been bad.
Yeah.
I know he's got 20 bombs, and that's great. But for the most part, you know, you're talking about an OPS in the 600s. Is that batting average was down to like 215 before that last night. But he had a sac fly and a big bomb last night, and that was a huge sign for – because we've seen what he can do when he gets hot.
Oh, it's just a matter of getting him hot, you know. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people questioning why he's still in the lineup, but it's like the risk reward with him.
Yeah.
If you can get him into that hot mode.
Yeah, you're not going to lose him. You're not going to stick him on the bench and lose him, because you're paying him the money. He's not going to go anywhere. And when he gets hot, he can really be a huge part of your offense. So you got to just, you know, Snit's great about being patient with these guys and gritting his teeth and letting them struggle, you know, and you hope other guys can carry the offense while they struggle. But for everybody that just wanted to put junk in, put him at the end of the bench, well, then you've lost him for good. Then he's not going to do anything for you.
Well, he's not getting out of it
like
that. You know,
getting one at bat every 3 games, it's not going to do anything for him.
No, so, it's the only way you find out if the stuff you're working on is working is getting 4 at-bats. You don't figure it out getting a pinch hit at bat off a reliever throwing 99 with a 92-mile-an-hour slider. It's like anybody can fail there. You let him get those at-bats where maybe he runs into a reliever that's, you know, the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th guy in the pen, and he can do some damage off him, and then you see your swing adjustment worked. But yeah, if they just stash him on the bench, I don't see him getting out of it.
And we've seen, I mean, this guy's not all of a sudden 38 years old. I mean, he's still in the peak of his career.
He's got bat speed still.
All the stuff is there, and it shouldn't surprise anybody if he goes on a tear between now and the end of the season, and then you're going to forget that he's stunk for the most part for 4 months, because now is when it counts.
Yeah.
And if he can get hot and help these guys get in the postseason and then do it in the postseason, look at Eddie Rosario last year.
Yeah.
You know? Look what he did down the stretch. It didn't matter what his career, what his season numbers were. That was irrelevant. He was a hero for these guys. And Ozuna can certainly have a huge series or a huge month. Guys, let's take a quick break and then we'll finish up the show.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
They really need Acuna to get hot, too, and he's starting to.
Yeah, and I thought, Acuna, that was the other thing. Acuna has really, on this trip, I thought he had some good games in New York, really looked engaged.
Yeah.
And I thought that stolen base was terrific. I mean, or not stolen base, that the slide at home. That was really impressive to me. That's a fully engaged Acuna. He's into the game. He's hustling. He's playing hard. And he was excited after it happened. And Michael Harris with the teamwork on that to have him slide outside the catcher, because he could have never known that ball where it was coming exactly without Harris going. And he slid, Beautiful slide. So athletic. Perfect. Man. You saw Acuna. That was one of the best slides you'll see outside Trey Turner.
you know what? Yeah. His is just smooth.
Love. I've watched that guy slide all day.
Me too. The thing that caught my eye was that at bat that Acuna had against Pivetta where he took the single to right.
Yeah.
He's had some singles lately. He had that first at bat and he fell down on the swing, but I don't think he fell down because he was swinging too hard. I think that back knee was just, I don't know if it's 100% stable yet. I think he's still battling it, but he swung and, you know, it wasn't stable on him. He went down to not put the pressure on it, but it looked like he swung out of his ass because he fell down. And Pivetta threw that next ball over his head and it pissed him off.
Yeah.
And instead of getting pissed off and swinging for the fences next at bat, he went up there like, you're not getting me out doing that shit to me. And I think I saw it was like ball one or ball two, and he's doing kind of like the Soto thing, staring out at the mound.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see
that.
I know. I thought the same thing. I thought Soto the way he did that when he stared.
Yep.
Same thing.
The thing that caught my eye on that was he didn't need to take that guy deep, but he was not going to let him get him out.
Yeah.
And he hunted a pitch, got a pitch down and away, took a single to right, bat flipped and fist pumped. I want him playing like that. I want him playing pissed off, but pissed off and focused, you know, with. You don't see him bat flipping too much on a single when the runner just goes to second. You know, it's normally he's going to show emotion when he gets a big home run or something. But to be like, I'm not letting that pitcher that just threw one at my head beat me and lock in like that and have a point to prove. That's what caught my eye with him yesterday.
It sounds ridiculous that we would ever even like kind of forget how good Acuna is. But when so much else is going on, you got a kid making his debut and Harris is getting off. You got two 21-year-olds. They're like 3 years younger than Ronnie. When they're getting off, I think this could be good for Acuna because he's still coming back from the knee thing. I think seeing all these guys around him, these young kids really having fun and raking, could be just a – not that he needs motivation because he doesn't, but coming back from the knee, not being fully confident. He told us, you know, he conceded that he's not always confident in the knee. It doesn't always feel right, but it's healthy. They don't have to worry about the knee collapsing or whatever. It just doesn't feel normal yet because he's coming back from major surgery.
Yeah.
So this could be having another guy, having him and Harris, these two guys having fun playing, getting off, could be something that, and I also don't want to say light a fire in a run because that seems derogatory or disrespectful. I'm just saying it could be something good for Acuna to not have all the focus on him, everything riding on him. Just go out and do your thing. Because let's not forget, he's the best player on the field.
Yeah.
When he's on, he is the best player on the field in like almost any game. Unless there's a game against two or three other guys, he's clearly the best player on the field. Like last night, he's the most talented player on the field. It might not have looked like it, but he is. So let's not forget, if he gets hot and doesn't Acuna month down the stretch, it could be night and day difference for this offense, man.
Well, it's probably been a bit of an adjustment for him to not be the center of attention.
Yeah.
And I think he does, you know, I think he does thrive in being the center of attention.
Yeah, I think he does.
He loves it. You know, he loves leading off. He loves hitting that leadoff homer. And I'm sure it's been all these other guys getting this attention, you know, especially Michael Harris coming up and
hitting in front of him.
Hitting in front of him. Everybody wants to see what he's going to do. It's probably been an adjustment. And I think the tendency for a guy like him is initially going to be to try to take that spotlight back and do too much. That's why I was so impressed that yesterday, you know, he didn't have to hit a home run. He just wanted to beat that pitcher. It wasn't about, you know, putting on a show. It was, I'm not letting this pitcher beat me after throwing one over my head. And it was me versus him. You know, he was in that moment. And I think for me, if he can get to the point where he's just competing and not distracted by all that, because he's, like you said, he's the best player on the field. And once he starts going off, it's spotlight's going to be right back on him. But he's probably going through the first really tough phase of his career where he's not hitting right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just your tendency is just to try to get it all back in one swing. If he can just play his game.
And let's not forget, we had, you know, last year he gets hurt. They win a World Series. Okay.
Yes.
Freddie is the center of attention. This year, who's the MVP candidate this year? Austin Riley.
Yep.
He's having the season that everybody thought Acuna could have when healthy, you know? Austin Riley's in the middle of the MVP discussion. Not Acuna. Nobody's talking about Acuna being MVP. Now you got two young kids coming up who are what Acuna was when he came up, you know?
Yep.
The phenoms. So there's a whole lot of stuff going around the team that's not centered on Acuna.
Yep.
And this could be, you know, it could be good for him as he's getting used to that knee and getting comfortable again. But I am the last person that's going to write off Acuña and say it's just a bad season because, I mean, the knee's stable. It's just not mentally, he's not there yet and probably doesn't feel normal still. I mean, I haven't come
back from an ACL. I've seen him favorite a few times. There's been some times where he's chasing down a ball and has to kind of slam on the brakes. And
yeah.
You can see that right leg a little stiffer than the left, you know, like he's kind of guarding it.
And everybody that comes back from ACL says that first year back, even though, you know, there's been a couple of exceptions where guys have had unbelievable years in other sports. But for the most part, you know, running backs come back from it. Players come back from it. They feel it. You know, it's not a normal year that you're having when you come back. So next year will be the year, I think, when he gets back to being normal every day. But if they could have him get hot down the stretch, we'll be reminded of what he can do. And that could be something to see. I mean, because the offense, obviously, when he's not doing his thing in the leadoff spot, it's a different offense. I mean, he's still the straw that stirs the drink, you know?
Yep.
As great as Austin Riley is, and he's having an MVP year, Acuña's a different dynamic when he's going, man. I mean, he's like every time he gets in the box, you have to watch. And he hasn't had that feel this year, but it could. It's still time. So, slightly, quietly waiting in the weeds, the most talented player in the league, probably.
Yeah, no, he'll be, when he gets hot, it's going to be a thing to see. And if he gets hot before, you know, by September or, I mean, getting hot now, but if you roll into the playoffs with him hot.
Yeah, the rest won't matter what he did for the first half of the season.
Forget all about it. And that's something for him to remember too, is people forget your struggles so fast.
Just like they forget what you did in the first half last year before you got hurt, because everybody thinks about the Braves won a World Series. Never mind, Acuña had MVP numbers when he got hurt last year.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Kyle Wright, that was a big thing last night too, coming back from that Mets start.
Yeah.
That bad Mets start. I thought that was a really good bounce back last night.
Yeah, he looked good. Kyle, I mean, I don't worry about him anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that you don't have to worry about him anymore, that he can have a bad start, and it's not like, oh, here we go again. It doesn't have that feel at all. It's just, it's a bad start.
Yeah, it happens.
From a really good pitcher.
And that's just the, you know, the corner he's turned. He's not living start to start anymore. He knows he's a big leaguer now, and he's had enough success this year to put all that crap behind him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Boston's not the hottest team in the league, but it's still tough to go into Fenway, and I wasn't worried at all.
They still got some really good hitters, man.
Yep.
I mean, Devers, they got some hitters that are great.
Yep.
So, yeah, I know nobody cares about wins anymore, but he's leading the league in wins, man. 14 wins.
Yeah, without a lot of run support.
He could get 17, 18 wins easy. Yeah. So, anyway, all right, well, now we got something else to watch with Vaughn Grissom. Big series in Miami as far as him and some other things that are happening. The Braves need, you know, if they get into Miami and win 3 out of 4, you could salvage a pretty good trip still, as bad as it started, because it was bad.
Yeah, and they got it because the Phillies are starting to get hot.
Phillies are, man, they are not messing around. They're right on your tail.
They're playing the way, you know, they expected with that lineup to play.
Made some good moves. Yeah, the Phillies, they're definitely not going away. So,
I don't know what Harper's timetable is, but they're doing this without him.
Yeah, he could come back in September for sure. All right, 7:55 is real. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again.